Right. Last week, or the week before last, sorry, Chris was going to do the last little bit of the Lord's Prayer in our all age, and he got as far as lead us not into temptation. We didn't get as far as deliver us from evil. So I thought I'll finish that off before we move on to the next section of Deeper, Wider, Higher. And I don't know whether you realise this, I've been a bit canny, and because for the Deeper, Wider, Higher, the higher bit is all talking about worship and prayer, really reaching the Lord. And so all over the summer we've done the Lord's Prayer, but actually that's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of higher done. Now, unfortunately, we didn't record them because we couldn't with all the things going on. But when it comes to higher, I really want to be concentrating on praying. And we've been doing the School of Prayer, which has been really good. Well, I think it's been really good. I can't say because I'm the one doing it. But I thought it was really good. So I just want to encourage you in those things. So we're going to finish the Lord's Prayer today. Deliver us from evil. Oh, next week. Well, I've already told you, Gay Jacqueline is coming. This is the logo for Worthing for Refugees. So she'll be coming to speak to us. And we've known, Michelle's known Gay since her little girl was in Mums and Toddlers about 35 years ago. And she goes to Maybridge Church, and she is she's their music person in Maybridge. And on a few occasions, Michelle and I have joined in with their Christmas choir. Which is always really good to go and listen to. So, we're going to be thinking about deliver us from evil. All right? And there's sort of two areas in this. The first one is a very sort of practical thing, and the second is more inside us. So I'm thinking that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he wrote this one verse, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. And Paul was saying, we're having trouble. Do you remember if you've read the Acts of the Apostles? There's times when they were being stoned, they were being shipwrecked. It was all sorts of trouble going on. With the Worthing for Refugees, the people that are leaving their countries and coming here, it's because of trouble, isn't it? I want to look firstly at some scriptures we actually looked at on Friday. And Acts chapter 12, this is trouble for Peter. About that time, King Herod began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much that pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under guard of 4 squads of 4 soldiers. Herod intending to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Okay, we talked on Friday about the fact that it was the church praying together that was the thing the Roman Empire couldn't stand, against the church praying together for Peter. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to wake him up and said, "Quick, get up!" The chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put your sandals on." And he did so. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. Now, as an aside, that's how real Peter's visions were. Okay. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street. And it says, and then the angel left him. Now that is so much a deliver us from evil, isn't it? Okay, there's Peter under a death sentence and God has delivered him from evil. Okay, let's think of something a little bit more up to date. These are the people in Kenya that I love to hate. It's the police. Now, I know that people like the police are put there for wrongdoers. And if we're not doing anything wrong, we've got nothing to be scared of. However, in Kenya, the police are paid pennies. And they make up their salary by stopping motorists and getting money off them. Okay? So, at any given time, you will be driving along the road, and particularly the white people, because they see the colour of your skin and they think, money. So you're driving along and you come to a roadblock, and sometimes, can you see there, the spikes? Okay, they don't let you get past. They are serious. They will stop every minibus and get 30p, 50p off them. They'll stop every lorry and get a couple of pounds off them. And they'll stop the drivers as well, saying, okay, so what can we find? And I remember this on one occasion, this policeman stopped me and he said, now what can I find wrong with your car so you can give me something? On one occasion, I made a mistake. It was the time where I had to renew the insurance. And for cars in Kenya, you have to put the insurance sticker on the car. And that's one thing they always check. If it's not in date, you can go straight to prison. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. You know, straight away, they can arrest you. Okay? I had my new sticker on my desk in the house. We were going to Nairobi. 100 miles of journey. Got out, got in the car. We were dropping off one of the boys on the way. And I started, and we got about 20 minutes into the journey. And I thought, oh no, I've forgotten the insurance. And knowing that it's a prisonable offence, I said, we've got to go back and get it. So, and between us and home were two roadblocks. Okay. So we got to the first one and we got stopped. Normally you sit there and wait for them to come to the window. I thought, I'm gonna stop this. I got out and I went to see him so we didn't have to come to the car. And, we had a great... I shook his hand, how are you? How's the morning? Being really friendly, as I always do with the police. But on this one, I had an ulterior motive. And he slowly walked up to the car. And he looked, Michelle had her window down. He said, oh, hi, Mama, how are you? Are you going to the hospital? I don't know why I thought we were going to the hospital, because there was one just a bit further on. And he turned around and walked back. Off you go. He never looked at the windscreen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Then we get to the next roadblock. Now, this one, they always stop whites at. Okay, it's up a hill. And as we were coming along the road, and there's quite a bit of road between us and the roadblock, and you can still see them at the top, and I thought, there's no cars between us and them. They are going to stop me. I just knew it. And we came up to a junction that had got herringbone, you know, the things on it that you're not allowed to drive on, and we're driving along, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to get stopped. I don't want to go to prison. I know it's my fault, but oh, Lord, help. And just as we got to this junction, this brand new BMW, big red one, overtook us really fast on the herringbones, which you're not allowed to do, and he whizzed up. Of course, they stopped him, and we just drove past. Oh, that was deliver me from evil, I tell you. I was so grateful to the Lord for that. got home, changed the sticker, got back in the car, drove back to Nairobi. Thank you, Lord. Now, those are very, very practical things, which both for Peter, the apostle, and for me, they were practical things that God took the evil out of the way. Okay? But there's also this scripture in Isaiah. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. But the main bit there is that first two lines, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. Sometimes the deliverance is not taking the evil away, but it's God being with us and really us knowing God's with us through the difficulty. Yeah? So, for instance, what came to mind particularly was Daniel in the Bible. Daniel in the Bible with his friends. Several times things happened to him, and you had to... God delivered him through different circumstances. He went through the circumstances, but God delivered him in it. And there's two particular ones that I think of, which you probably have thought of already now. You've got Daniel's friends Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego refused to bow down to an idol thrown in the fire, that the people that threw them in died because it was so hot. But the king said, wait a minute, didn't we put three people in the fire? Then how come I'm seeing four and the fourth one looks like the Son of God? How he knew what the Son of God looked like, I have no idea. But that's what he said. And then he said to the three young men, come out. God has kept you. And then a bit later on, at the end of Daniel's life, he is falsely accused and thrown into a pit of lions, and they didn't touch him. And the king at that moment said, has God been able to deliver you from the mouths of the lions? And Daniel shouted out of the lion's den, yes, he has. He had delivered Daniel. So there's some very sort of practical things, okay, about God delivering us. I remember one time I was walking along I've said this before, I'm sorry. Walking along the road with a bunch of young people, and one of them, his name was Richard, and he was chatting to the person next to him, and he was walking, chatting, like this. Okay, and I could see the lamppost, but he couldn't because he was too busy looking at his friend chatting. And I said, Richard, Richard. And he goes, what? Bang. Bang, knocked into it. He didn't take my warning in enough time. Sometimes we don't even know what God is delivering us from. We're unaware of it. But there are times when we say, oh, I've got a testimony about this. I was doing such and such. God really was with me. I knew he was with me. He helped me. Or he actually really delivered me from the problem, the difficulty. So it was such, I was really conscious of God with me. So there's that deliverance from evil on the outside. But then there's what I also want to think about this morning is the inside, okay? Inside of us, okay? Because Paul says this. Matthew read this out last week. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I want us to think this morning about being delivered from the power of darkness and being conveyed. Now, that's a are going to think about the word a little bit later on, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. But first, I want to think a little bit like this. So that there's a level playing field, this verse in Romans covers every single human being that is alive at this moment. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? That's everybody. Okay? And I like to look at it a little bit like this. Here is an indoor bowls. Sometimes people play it outside, but quite a lot of people play it indoors. And this is a bowl. It's not quite spherical. You can see it sort of squashed a little bit, isn't it? Inside the bowl, there's a weight, and they call it a bias. And it's slightly off-centre. So if you're aiming at something and you bowl, as it goes along, it veers off. It never hits the mark. If you're aiming straight, it just goes off. And people are like that. However hard they try, they miss the mark. So what some people do in their behaviour, they act in a certain way so that it looks like they're hitting the mark. Now, have a look at this little video.
About 6 inches between the two bolts, so there is just room.
The way Greg asked him to play that, you'd think he was 3 feet away from it.
Call it these guys, you wouldn't expect him to miss either, to be honest.
Well, he's very close to splitting the two red balls and getting to the jack. That's what the target is. Oh, look at this. Oh, that is ridiculous. That is just so good. It is ridiculous. What a ball. Oh.
Impressive, eh? And sometimes so that we can get as close to the mark as we can, we adapt our behaviour. Okay, he threw it so that it went on a curve and ended up hitting the jack. God's deliverance takes away that offset bias that leads us to doing wrong, breaking commandments and things. God comes and takes that away. Okay, so we have this scripture. If anyone over 25, anyone who lives in Worthing, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, have a good look at that. Now, what Jojo said this morning about change, for some things I agree, but for the fundamental, the change is straight, because old things have passed away. I want us to really take this on board today. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Okay, now it says, if anyone, he is a new creation. That's actually not there, because it's slanted, that word, he is not there. We could say they, so that we are all included. They are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So some people think this is what's going to happen to me. Okay? So this is you at the beginning when you become a Christian, and slowly over time, right to the end of your life, the old is getting smaller and smaller, and the new is getting bigger and bigger. It doesn't work like that, I'm afraid. No, I'm not afraid. I'm rejoicing that it's actually like that. Okay? It's like this. You're in the old, you come to Jesus, you're a new creation, everything's new. That is where it's at. It's not a 90%, 80%, 70%. It is out of one into the other. We are delivered, okay, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Okay? Now, you might say, that is just too much for me, Matt. I can't get my head around it. The thing is, if it wasn't written in the Bible, I'd say, well, I agree with you. But it is written in the Bible, and therefore, I believe it. And even if it's not your experience, I believe what's written in the Bible. I am a new creation. Okay? And so, I want us to think about this delivering. Delivering us. Rescuing us. That's what the word means in Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness. It is, he's rescued us. Because we needed rescuing, didn't we? We do need rescuing. Okay? Okay, let's go back to it. Oh. He has delivered us from the power and conveyed us. Right? When I do the Lord's Prayer with kids and sign language, we come to that, it's, and deliver us from the evil one. Yeah? So he's conveying us. And that word can also mean transfer. And that got my, sometimes I get a bit oblique in my thinking. Anyway, so I was thinking about this guy. His name is Donnarumma. He has been playing for Paris Saint-Germain for I don't know how long. Okay, he's a footballer, if you didn't know. And he has been transferred from the Paris team to Manchester City. Okay. Now, you might know this, that when footballers transfer from one club to another, the club that gets the player pays for them. Okay? How much was this guy worth to Manchester City? Any 26 million! I mean, can you believe it? He gets a cut out of that. I don't know how much he gets, but Manchester City paid Paris Saint-Germain £26 million so that he could be transferred to them. So when he starts playing next week, because it's only just happened in the transfer window, came to an end a few days ago, when he plays for them, he's in their team. Now, we can't say to the Man City people, oh, I'd like to go back and play for Paris again next weekend. Is that okay? No, we pay 26 million for you. You're ours. Paris Saint-Germain can't come to Manchester City and say, hey, we need him back for a week. We need him back for a couple of weeks. Our goalkeeper's not there. No. They paid for him. He's theirs. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things have become new. You can't, the old can't come and say, hey, I'd like to borrow you for a bit. No, because we have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. 26 million is nothing when you think about the worth of a human being. Okay? Sometimes a mine collapses and things, and instantly there's a rescue team and people fly in from different countries who are specialised, and they go down into the mine and they rescue the people. And it doesn't matter what the cost is, because they're rescuing the people. Yeah? Now, there's a scripture in Romans, and it says, scarcely for a righteous man one would die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah? Now, the nearest I could get to this was actually the President of America. He has the Secret Service around him to protect him. And one of the things that it's often said in movies, I don't know if it's in real life, but they say, you've got to be, if you're in the president's detail, you've got to be willing to take a bullet to save the president. Okay? So let's look back. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. These Secret Service agents have got to be ready to put their lives on the line in case the president gets shot at. Okay? And what did it say? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Wow. Oh. I find this stunning. I really do. The fact that Jesus came, he suffered, he died for me and for you. So that we could be conveyed out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Wow. Do you know that? Is that your... That's where you're at. Yes, I've been conveyed from one to the other. God has rescued me. God has delivered me. As I said a bit earlier, me? I could never have those things happen to me. But I really want to challenge you this morning. Okay. Last week, Matthew, when he talked to us about Colossians, he was talking about those words, he is, by him, in him. If you were here last week, you remember that. The first chapter of Colossians is all by him, by Jesus. He is. And I want to challenge you. Are you going to believe this? Are you going to believe what the scripture says? Or are you going to believe your day-to-day experience? Some people will say, I just believe, I'll never be like that, Matt. This is just the way I go, and I go that way all the time. Or are you going to believe what God's written down for you and for me? If any man is in Christ, it's a new creation. Now, John, when he wrote his first letter, he said this, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Sin, evil, inside, is not inevitable. It's not going to happen, okay? Because if we are in Christ, if we are a new creation, if all new things have come, we don't have to sin. But if anyone does, we've got an advocate with the Father. Okay? So if John had written, "and when anyone sins," that would have been completely different. But it's just if. Okay? Perhaps you think, I'm like that bowling ball, and everything I try to do, I veer off. I never get it right. You need to be made a new creation. He has delivered us from the power of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. What's it mean to you today? perhaps you feel a bit like that footballer, Donnarumma. You're in Paris Saint-Germain and you're just waiting for the football club's accountant to say, yes, the money's in, you can go. How much has come in? £26 million. All right, goodbye. Packs bags, goes to Man City. Well, I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to wait any longer to become a new creation, because Jesus has paid the price. It's in the bank, if you like, of his life. The power of darkness done away with. No strength. Can't hold you. And Jesus can take you and put you, or God can take you and put you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So, we're going to pray. And what I want to do is this morning is to I'll start praying, and I want to give space for anyone who wants to either pray out loud or just pray silently in their own heart and transact with God this morning. Okay? So let's pray. Lord God, Lord, these are incredible things we thought about this morning. But Lord, you told us to pray and deliver us from evil. And Lord, we want to come. For some of us here, Lord, we can say, you have delivered us from evil. Thank you, Lord, that you've taken us out of that kingdom of darkness and you've put us cleanly and clearly in to the kingdom of the Son of your love. For others, might not be sure. And for some, perhaps, they know that they haven't been. But Lord, this morning, we want to transact with you. Lord, we want to make our calling and election sure, as what it says in 2 Peter. Lord, we want to say, yes, Lord, this is what I want for me. This is what I want, Lord. I want to know I am a new creation in you. You have rescued me. Precious Lord God, I'm going to leave some space for you to transact with God yourself.